What's going on, everybody? Daryl Freda, the club CEO here, and we have another amazing episode of the My DJ Story podcast brought to you by the Club App, the number one online community for DJs where you can stream for free and not get cut off. Today, we have Ben from DJ University. Brother, can you please introduce yourself, tell the people where you're from and who you are?
Yeah, what's up, Daryl? Thank you so much for having me on the podcast. Really, I am a DJ of 20 years of experience. I actually started a company back in high school, so my junior year of high school, and I was able to scale up to multi-six figures a year. We actually have a full team of employees, so we're a multi-op. But my main background when I first started was actually just in the nightlife, the club and festival scene, and then kind of grew from there to more of a business now.
Awesome, bro. That's super interesting. You seem like you got some success in that story. So I'm really excited to hear your entire story from the beginning to where we are now. So talk to me, you know, how did you get interested in becoming a DJ? And tell me a little bit about the beginning days.
Yeah, certainly. So I had some super humble beginnings. I actually, it started off in the trailer park. So that's really where I started off at. My mom and dad are actually divorced, so they're separated. And I had actually lived with my mom in Germany, so in Europe for a while. And I'd moved back to live with my dad for a little bit. And at that point in time, he lived in the trailer park. And the crazy part is that, like, I have an older sister, and they only had a two-bedroom trailer. So naturally, my dad got the master bedroom of the trailer, and then my sister got the second bedroom, which meant that they had to make space for me. So my bedroom actually ended up being my dad built out of PVC piping and blankets duct taped to the PVC piping and kind of built a dividing wall between the, you know, kind of cut the living room in half. So that way part of the living room was my room and then the other side was the living room.
Wow. Now,
the thing that super sucked was that the entertainment center, ironically, was right on the opposite side of the blanket wall. So they loved to watch, back in the day, it was like X-Files. I don't know if you guys remember X-Files, super creepy and, you know, blaring the TV while I'm trying to go to sleep. And so the way that I drown out the noise that helped me kind of cope with my circumstances, because there's a lot of drama at home as well that happened, was music. So it was my way of escaping reality. And especially with hip hop music, you know, hip hop is kind of like raw, in your face, right? It talks about real life stuff. I could relate to a lot of what the rappers were talking about. And I saw myself in similar circumstances where that really drew me to hip hop culture.
Wow,
I actually studied like the four elements of hip hop, and I actually didn't get into DJing right off the bat. I actually started off as a B-boy. So I was actually got into breakdancing first. And then naturally grew into the DJ side. I never considered myself like a graffiti artist or skilled on the microphone as an MC. So I'm skilled as an announcer, as a DJ, but not as a rapper. So, you know, if anybody's familiar with the four elements of hip hop, it's breakdancing, DJing, MCing, and also graffiti artwork as well.
Nice, brother. That's super amazing, interesting story, man. So, but coming from humble beginnings, you know, how did you like, you know, get started and like buy your first, you know, DJ set and get your first gig? Tell me a little bit about the how you, you know, maneuvered your way into the industry.
Yeah, great question. So really, I looked up to like Mixmaster Mike, DJ Qbert, those kind of DJs. And I knew at that point, man, I really want to become a DJ. So my parents were loving in their own way, but they were also realists. So, you know, I kind of wanted to get into like music production and become famous that way. And they said, you know, like that's one in a million, Ben. You know, try to figure something else out that's more realistic, right? So I was like discouraged already at a very young age. And one thing that I noticed was, you know, I wasn't like naturally talented as a singer or as a rapper, but I saw like the DJ being my way to creating success because I could play other people's music and still be within the music industry, right? So that's one thing that I was really passionate about, was like music. And so so I literally would spend hours at Radio Shack just studying the speakers, amps, and that kind of stuff. They don't really have official DJ gear, right? And I'm kind of located in a more rural area, so there wasn't like the big guitar centers or Best Buys or any sort of legit DJ stores. So Radio Shack was like the closest thing to like an electronics store. And then over time, I just literally started off with, I literally built my own speaker cabins, by the way. So I just bought like woofers and tweeters from Radio Shack and then bought some wood and put these super makeshift DIY speaker cabins together, and said, hey, call myself a DJ, by the way. So I put myself out there, and my first opportunity, my first gig was actually my junior high school dance. So I think I was in seventh grade, and it was like an end of the school year dance. And I literally brought these homemade speaker boxes with a Radio Shack CD player. Remember the five disc changers, right? So it wasn't like a legit DJ deck. It was more like a home DJ or home CD player with an amp. And I literally just DJed that way. So I would literally skip to the right song as fast as I could. The second that the song was over, I had to eject, pull out the next song and cue it up and play it. So again, lots of pauses in between, not really the most ideal DJ set, but that was my beginning. Then as I progressed, I started saving up, anything. So I'd try to do some odd jobs like helping with yard work or that kind of stuff. I saved up any sort of gifts from Christmas or birthdays to save up for my DJ equipment. And I was finally able to afford, I started off with a Gemini, actually just a Gemini CD player, and then graduated to a Newmark turntable. One turntable. Right. My parents were super skeptical. They thought like this was just going to be a fad, so they didn't really want to invest the funds in it. And we didn't really come from a big financial backing. So that being said, I kind of had to bootstrap it and buy my own gear. But over time, it was actually right around high school, I was able to afford, because at that point I had a job and I was able to afford to buy two turntables and a mixer. And I would just, between school and work, I'd come straight home and just practice for hours and get lost into music for hours. And then at one point, I was actually handed this book. I was 16 years old, and it was actually, I was visiting my godparents, and they had some realtor friends that were really successful in real estate and said, son, read this book. All right. And it was Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. And that was a life-changing book for me. So one thing that I want to highlight is up until that point, I had never finished a book from cover to cover. I actually consider myself kind of not the strongest reader. So I spoke German for a while. And so technically speaking, English was my second language at some point. Now it's become my first language. But that book drew me in so much that like kept my interest going that I actually read it from cover to cover. And it really changed my mind because I was a struggling student. I wasn't academically gifted, and it gave me hope because what the book talks about is like, hey, you don't need to have a college degree to be successful. And as a matter of fact, there's actually some things that happened with the school system that are kind of rigged a little bit, right? And that, you don't need a diploma if you're going to be the one building the ladder. If you're trying to climb the ladder, absolutely you need a diploma to prove yourself. But if you're going to build the ladder, you don't need it, right? And at that moment, once I finished that book, I realized this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. I want to be a professional DJ. I want to build a career around DJing. And my senior and junior year of high school, I didn't, I still went to school because I wanted my parents to think that I went to school, right? But I actually ended up buying a bunch of books and like on starting a business and how to run a business. I would take those books and set myself in the back of the classroom. I didn't finish one homework assignment and didn't do any classwork for all of my classes for junior and my senior year of high school.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was just incredible. The cool part was that like I didn't actually get kicked out. I was very close to getting kicked out. But my teachers actually supported me because they saw, hey, this isn't a class clown trying to like wreck my class. This is a kid with a mission and he's just trying to pursue his dream, right? And the ironic part is that a lot of these schools, surrounding, because these teachers have now like gone to other schools as well, they're all our clients now. So that's the ironic part is that I actually didn't graduate high school. I was 2 credits shy from graduating high school, but these schools are actually paying us now, right?
Wow.
Which is so ironic, right?
Wow. Pretty cool. Now that's an amazing story, brother. And to be an example for anyone out there that think, oh, I don't have this, I don't have that, I need to do this to succeed. I need to do that. Like you just need drive, hustle, ambition, and a vision and a mission, just like you said, to be able to do the things that you want to do in life. And you've shown that through perseverance, you can make it. So like, I'm super excited to hear, where did it go from there? You have the ambition now, you have the knowledge from reading all these books. what happened after that? So it turns out you dropped out of high school. You know, where did it go from there?
Yeah. So really, it started off as me just as a solopreneur, right? So I was hustling super hard, doing everything. So I literally wore a shirt that said CEO, Chief Everything Officer, right? Because I literally felt like that's what I was doing. That's what most founding CEOs do for their businesses, is they have to do everything. They have to be the marketing department. They have to be the customer service department, the sales department, the everything, right? Operations as well. And I started actually gaining very quick momentum shortly after high school. So I actually went full time DJing wise. So I actually started off in high school at 16. My first job was actually working at a grocery store, started off as just bagging groceries, then graduated to being kind of the clerk, like the person that runs the register. But I actually quit my job at 18. And the reason why was, first off, I was evicted out of my house. So like my dad actually kicked me out. And so I was already paying my own bills at 18. And I knew it was risky to quit my job, but the one thing that I told myself and asked myself is like, hey, Ben, if you don't quit your job, because really this job, this paycheck is a safety net. And I felt like if I were to quit my job, I had absolutely no plan B, right? It's only a plan A and that's it, which means survival instinct would kick in. And I would think on the spot to figure out how the quickest way to achieve success or the quickest path to success would be, right? And so for a while there, it was really scary because I was like on the verge of getting evicted. I was eating bologna sandwiches for breakfast, lunch, and dinner because that's all I could afford, right? But within a 6-month period of time, I figured it out, like how to, because again, I was legitimately hungry, not just like figuratively hungry, but legitimately hungry that I was working my butt off to figure it out. Right. And I was able to lock down a bunch of clients, which was, between nightclubs and bars, which really, were a bunch of residencies, that, you know, provided me kind of that consistent income to be able to pay my bills.
Yeah.
The other thing I also got into was promoting. So I actually put on big time concerts and big time like nightlife events where I would attract a bunch of people. But I wasn't just the DJ. I was actually the promoter as well. Because I saw, hey, the DJ gets paid a lot of times and the promoter sometimes doesn't pay the DJ. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. The promoter's making a killing and then the DJ only gets partial when the DJ is actually the one who's commanding the crowd and like keeping everybody there or attracting the people in the first place, right? So I ended up learning how to promote events and kind of cut the middleman in that sense and very quickly was able to actually generate revenue that way. Nice. The other thing I also saw was since I started, you know, kind of my business back in high school, I realized, man, there's a lot of high schoolers that had no form of entertainment that like we could actually provide. So there was a need, a demand in the market, right? So what I did is I called them the high school collectives and literally would put on these big time dance parties and wouldn't dumb them down. I would do exactly the same thing that I would do for a 21 and over event, right? Like bring Vegas to high schools pretty much, right? Now, of course, like without like some of the really inappropriate stuff, but like when it came to like music and stuff, like actually we decided to play unedited music and instead of having parents chaperone, we had professional licensed security guards chaperone. So it felt more legit and it felt like, okay, mom and dad aren't looking over my shoulder while I'm trying to, you know, dance with whoever, I don't know, my boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever, you know what I mean? And it really worked. So like it actually like sold out. Like the first one didn't actually do that well, but the second one sold out within the first hour, right? Uh-huh. And then I had to find a bigger venue and it got so big to the point where it was, I mean, massive. And I had a line out the door to the parking lot because the event was sold out within the first hour, right?
Wow.
So a great, great place to be in. And that actually then got me on the radio. So there's a lot of buzz going around from all the concerts we were putting on to the, you know, the high school events that we were putting on. And it actually happened to be the daughter of the owner of the radio station was in high school, went to these events. I was like, Dad, you got to have this guy. He's a legit DJ. You got to have him on air. So I was asked, I didn't have to like, you know, cold call or knock on doors. All these opportunities started coming my way, right?
Wow.
One of them being also being able to have a residency on the radio station, right? So it was really beautiful.
Wow, that is a super amazing story, man. You literally just went out there and figured out all the tricks and techniques to put yourself out there and kind of set yourself up for success. You know, like it's like you're doing the things that can eventually lead for you to get lucky. And then all the stars align, eventually you get lucky. And it's like those things happen. You engineered that. So I wouldn't even call it luck. would say strategic positioning and planning that got you to this level of success, man. And that's super amazing. And the thing is, you were very young when you start to do that and start to see the success. And you can do a lot in a short amount of time. A lot of people underestimate how much they can get done if they put in the work. So like, you should just be able to go out there and follow your dreams and actually think it through in a business matter, what's going to bring you success, just like Ben has done. And he's now started a new company and is now thriving with this as well. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're got going on right now and how you can, you know, people can learn more about this?
Yeah, absolutely. Before I get into the new company, the one thing I also want to highlight to DJs out there, one thing is that, you know, there's different phases in this journey of being a professional DJ, right? So you kind of heard about my foundation, like the start. Then you heard about like kind of how I grew and caught momentum. But then where I actually ended up was that I was working myself tired, where I was literally like exhausted because I was only one person. I could only be in so many places at once. I started getting requests of like, hey, can you DJ here and here? So I was actually turning away gigs because I could only, again, realistically be in one place at a time. And that's where I had to ask myself, hey, I need to create something beyond myself. And so that's where I actually took my company to be more of a multi-op, right? So I actually figured out a way to train DJs with absolutely no experience, because I tried to hire DJs before with experience and they came with a lot of egos and it just didn't, they weren't really great team players. Not hating on you DJs out there that are like that, because I know not everybody's like that, but the ones that we happen to hire always didn't work, end up working out. And so we actually decided to hire people who are passionate about becoming DJs and taught them from the ground up. And at first, it took us 6 months to train someone. Then we were able to figure out and make it more efficient to 3 months to 2 months. And now we're all the way down to 30 days that we can train a person from literally not having any experience to being ready to perform events for our company, right? We have a reputation to protect too. So like, we don't just send people out who are not ready. But that's how powerful like this training system has become. And that's where actually the second company comes in, DJ University, is that we actually took this training curriculum that we use within our company that I still run, by the way. So like, you know, DJ University is a online DJ school, but we're not just a mentor or a guru. We're practitioners here. Like I'm still running this DJ company, right? And we're still hiring and training people. And also I personally still DJ gigs as well, right? And the beautiful part is that now we can empower other DJs across the country and even the world that are passionate about it, learn how to DJ, right? Because one thing is that I wish I would have learned a lot sooner and when I was a lot younger was to find a mentor, because they can dramatically shorten your learning curve. Yeah, I've been in this now for 20 years, but I can tell you right now that I would be so much more successful, so much further ahead if I would have had a mentor sooner. So I have like multiple mentors now, but if I would have had even one mentor just back in high school, man, even in my 20s, I would have just run circles around a lot of people at that point.
Wow. Now that's truly amazing. Great advice. You know, if you learn from other people, you're able to really learn from their mistakes so you don't have to make them. And it makes you go so much faster and much more efficient than if you were doing it on your own. So I, you know, sign off on that advice. Find a mentor, find people like Ben that can teach you the ropes so you don't have to learn it on your own. And is there anything else you want to say before we jump into the lightning round for the people?
Not really. I'm ready for the lightning round. Let's go ahead.
Awesome, brother. Let's do this. Describe your DJ setup, hardware and software.
So I started off on turntables and vinyl, and it was very hard for me because it's like, oh man, these MIDI controllers, I don't know about these, right? So I'm a little old school in that sense. But with our company, we had to become more efficient. And so we actually ended up like transitioning to MIDI controllers. And currently we're using the DJ, SZ actually. So the DJ SZ, we were looking in the RZ as well because that's for Record Box. So we started off on Serato, but now we're actually we're using Record Box as well. And the only reason why is because of the lighting automation. I don't know if you guys know about that. Record Box does a really good job at that. Instead of Serato, you have to go with Switch still in order to control the lights.
Besides yourself, who's your favorite DJ?
I wouldn't even say I'm my favorite DJ, by the way. So DJ AM was one of my favorite DJs. RIP to DJ AM. Really, I'm really drawn to like open format DJs. Currently, who I'm following when it comes to like production DJs is Troy Boy. he's on my map right now. Like, I really like his style and even his performance style as well.
What has been your favorite party or event you've DJed at and why?
Oh man, there's multiple that stand out. So I would say my first big time concert, I had three headliners and it was sold out. I was nervous as heck because I'd never performed in front of that large of a crowd before. And on top of that, I was the promoter. So I was not only just focusing on the DJ side, but also like the managing the event side. And so I was really stressed out. But looking back at it, it was an incredible experience. And it was just really cool. And I also got to like see how these big time celebrities are in, you know, kind of in person, because I got to pick them up at the airport and spend some time with them before the concert actually happened. And they're all human beings. Like we all glorify people, but really everybody in the end is just as human as you are.
Who's the most interesting person you've met through DJing?
Most interesting person, I would say honestly my mentor. So he's actually not even in the DJ industry, but if I wouldn't have started this business, I wouldn't have ever met him. So I started studying like other industries, and he happens to be in another industry, and that's how him and I connected, and we literally connect every single week.
What's one thing that you think is missing from live streaming for DJs?
That's a good question. I don't really know if there's anything missing, because I mean, you can still interact with people, right? And I feel like DJs have become even better at like figuring out the technology. So I can't think of anything.
And a shout out to DJs you know personally whose story should be shared on this podcast.
You know, really, some of our students who are inside of DJ University, we have MSO and also Murray San. He's also a DJ who's like, he came into the program thinking like, oh, you know, like I'm not that good. And he ended up being like really good. Like skill wise, he already had everything within him, which just showed us that like he had a mindset issue where like he thought he wasn't good enough. But once I saw him, I was like, dude, you're absolutely ready. You know, so definitely a big shout out to him as well.
Awesome. Look forward to hearing their stories on the podcast. And any DJs interested in being on the show, you can sign up at djsignup.com. And Ben, where can people find you online or even in person if you're still doing events?
Absolutely. Head on over to djuniversity.com. We actually have a free DJ startup guide. So for anybody who's looking to get into DJing and doesn't know how to start, doesn't have like me when I first started, I didn't have that much cash to be able to invest in all this expensive equipment. The DJ startup guide actually has a really quick win for you where you can figure out how to DJ within less than 24 hours with the tools that you already have. For you more advanced DJs who are either, you know, beginner DJs or part-time DJs who want to learn how to generate a full-time income as a DJ, I actually have a free masterclass at djuniversity.com as well that teaches you literally my three-step full-time income method that literally teaches you from going from part-time to how to actually make a full-time living at doing what you love to do. The other thing also is I have a podcast, DJ University Podcast, which is available on all podcast platforms.
Awesome, brother. This was great. Everyone, please check out Ben from DJ University. He's doing big things and he has a lot to offer for you. So please check him out, support him. Are you a DJ? Well, we want to hire you as one of our official The Club Virtual DJs. We've been working hard to source hundreds of paid virtual gigs, and we need DJs of all kinds that are interested in getting paid to curate virtual events for our clients. Whether you're a new DJ just getting started or a veteran in the game, we have paid gig opportunities for you. Text I'm in to 609-201-1027 to get notified for paid gig opportunities from the club. Tell a friend. We look forward to working with you. Now back to the podcast.